Hey everyone, it's Jasmine from Jasmine's Astrology, but you can call me Jay. And for today's video, I'm going to chat about the astrology of May 15th to the 20th. But first things first, if you do enjoy my videos, I would very much appreciate a like and a subscribe. It is super helpful and it is super free. And if you want to support my work in other ways, you can always head to my website, jasminesastrology.com, for astrology consultations and other offerings. And for any and all of the transits that I talk about in today's video, you can always personalize it further by looking at the houses where these aspects and transits are taking place. And if you need an introduction or a refresher on what the topics and themes and relationships for each of the 12 houses in astrology are, you should check out the link in the show notes. There is a free PDF that I am offering that has all of those things that I just listed. So check it out. Okay, so this is a big week in May, and you might have noticed that I'm not even covering the usual time period of Monday to Sunday, but Monday to Saturday instead. That's because there is just so much going on, and it just so happened that Sunday is the beginning of Gemini season. So I thought, well, let's do these last few days in Taurus, and then I'll start the next video at the beginning of Gemini season. So that's what we're going to do. And in this last week of Taurus season, Jupiter, Mars, and Pluto are the major players. And that is not something that we can say too often. It's more typical for it to be a, you know, for the Sun, Venus, and Mercury to have a lot going on in a given week. Or, you know, maybe it's even like a Pluto heavy week or a really Mars focused week. But the fact that we have Pluto, Mars, and Jupiter all sort of taking center stage is what's a little bit more rare about this week. So we might find that in our own lives, there are certain topics or relationships or themes that are just, coming more into focus for us, or we're giving them more attention, or they're seeming to take more focus from us than might be typical. And this combo of planets and signs is particularly bold and in your face. It's a lot of fixed energy. Mars in Leo at the end of the week is going to be big and bold and expressive. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. And speaking of Mars, let's start the week on May 15th at 9:40 a.m. Eastern. Mars, which is still in Cancer right now, is going to trine Neptune in Pisces at 27 degrees. So this is a day when we might feel motivated or driven to put more energy and effort towards our spiritual practices and creative outlets. Or maybe it's actually that the spiritual and creative sides of ourselves is what's helping to keep us motivated in general. Like, you know, we might be feeling a little burnt out, still coming out of eclipse season, Well, Mercury retrograde will just have ended the day before. So we're still sort of coming out of that, still in the retro shade. But this more soulful part of us, this part that feels that connection to something greater and something sort of beyond ourselves, is able to maybe come in and take the reins a little bit. It's a day when we might be so moved by our imagination that we take action on something we might not normally go for. Decisions are very much being made from a more instinctual and intuitive place. And it could be really helpful, therefore, to check in with the body and with that emotional knowing, that emotional wisdom, before moving forward with anything. Mood already affects motivation so much while Mars is in a water sign, but also while in Cancer, because it's got that rulership from the moon, and the moon is fluctuating and changing every day. So that means that, you know, Mars's ruler and the planet giving it its resources is fluctuating. And so Mars is too. And I think that that is very much emphasized when Mars meets up with a planet like Neptune that is very slow and dreamy and hazy and foggy. And in a sign like Pisces, that is very much like go with the flow energy. And so I think it will be very, very helpful to do a little extra checking in throughout the day. And then even when you do feel inspired to move ahead, to move forward, to do so in a more slow and thoughtful pace than you might be used to. Now, this is a trine aspect, which is a very supportive and encouraging aspect. So it does feel like things work out in the end, but it is a trine between planets that operate very differently. You know, Mars wants to take action, to just go for it, whereas Neptune is kind of like cool to daydream and like just kind of float over here and float over there and then like maybe move forward with something. It's cool to like dream and get lost in fantasies. So where Mars is sprinting, Neptune is floating. So they're going to work together nicely, but yeah, just in a different way than we might be used to. So what that means is that like on the 15th and then even the 14th and the 16th, there are these periods where we're probably going to be moving at that faster pace that Mars likes, but then other times when we are moving a lot slower or we're even just like full stop resting. And it'll be really helpful to go with that flow as much as possible and to just leave room for some flexibility during that part of the week. And then on May 16th, something very exciting, at around 1:20 p.m. Eastern, Jupiter will move into Taurus. And this is a definite change in pace. This shift means that, you know, two of our planets that really influence periods of time, and I'm talking about Jupiter and Saturn, they're now both in signs that have a much slower pace. Both Pisces and Taurus are pretty internally focused. They aren't in a rush. They're ready to just like go with the flow in terms of Pisces and even just like stay within the comfort zone in terms of Taurus. They're both very mellow. And so this sign change really marks a period of stability and calm for Jupiter. Since around mid-2021, Jupiter has very much been in flux, moving between Aquarius and Pisces, and then, you know, into Aries, and then back to Pisces, and then into Aries again. But once Jupiter moves into Taurus, it is there for the next 12 months. It will not retrograde back to Aries. It will not dip its toes into Gemini before retrograding back to Taurus. It is just in Taurus until May of 2024, which is so perfect for the kind of environment that Taurus is. It's fixed Earth. It's very steady. It's very stable. It's fixed. So it totally makes sense that that Jupiter is just going to be there and like spend its time there. It's like Taurus is so much about the physical experience and the present moment, and that just feels perfect to have the transit turn out like that. And this is a very positive and uplifting boost for our Taurus houses, which have been, you know, navigating the sometimes exciting but sometimes destabilizing energy of both Uranus and the eclipses, as well as the very hungry and insatiable qualities of the North Node. And so I think Jupiter comes in and provides some consistency and stability for our Taurus house topics. It provides some sort of like affirmation and readiness to expand. And I also think that this is going to be a great time for our Jupiter-ruled topics. So the houses in your chart that correspond with both Sagittarius and Pisces, I think because Jupiter is in such a steady and stable environment, that is going to bring some steady and stability energies and stable energies to the Sagittarius and Pisces houses as well. They're going to feel like they're, you know, on a bit more solid ground than they have been in the last little while. Now, there will likely be some level of chaos and like overdoing it when Jupiter interacts with the North Node and Uranus as it moves through Taurus, but we will deal with that when we come to it. Jupiter will hit the North Node pretty soon after it ingresses, but again, we'll deal with that when we get to it. Wherever Jupiter goes, it brings a readiness for growth and expansion, for new wisdom and learning and insight and understanding, and for new opportunities and adventures. It brings this readiness and this willingness to do all of those things within, you know, the realm of the house that it's visiting. And in Taurus, and on sort of a more collective level, this might look like expansion and amplification of themes regarding the physical body and embodiment, of the senses and the tactile nature of life, of nature and the environment, of food and other basic resources, as well as issues that affect women or women-identifying folks, feminine issues in general. There's also a very foundational quality to this combination, and it's as though we are establishing something really important by taking the necessary time to make sure it's going to be well set up, that it's going to have a good root system to support it. The stabilizing pace of Taurus, I think, will be, you know, help us to be a little bit more patient about these things too, and certainly to certainly with being able to narrow down our focus and put a lot of concentrated effort into a small amount of things that really are the most valuable to us, as opposed to, you know, having Jupiter move through Aries that was just kind of ready to do it, like ready, let's go, let's get it done at a fast pace, let's do whatever we want. And like, it wasn't as focused or as steady. And Jupiter in Aries was also really willing to kind of go it alone, Aries being that very like first into the breach type energy, and not, you know, Jupiter, any planet kind of moving through Aries doesn't really want to rely on anybody else's pace. So it just will go and do it and do the thing and not worry about that sort of collaborative energy. But with Jupiter moving into Taurus, a sign ruled by Venus that is very much about relationships and collaborations, I think Jupiter is ready to take on that more collaborative tone. And, you know, we're wanting to expand and enhance things in our Taurus houses, but we're very happy now to do that alongside someone else. And since I did mention that Jupiter rules Pisces, and since it does rule Pisces, this is going to change the flavor a little bit of the Saturn in Pisces transit. We might notice that over the next few months, we feel a little more stable and grounded in that area of life. You know, Jupiter being in such a solid and steady environment, and also finally being able to actually witness Saturn as its house guest, because while Jupiter was in Aries, it didn't have sight into the Pisces house, but from Taurus, it's forming that beautiful sextile relationship. And so it can finally see Saturn and provide some better resources and sort of affirm what Saturn in Pisces is doing. And I think that that will likely help us to get a better understanding of what the Saturn in Pisces transit is all about for us personally. And in terms of learning more about Jupiter in Taurus, we will definitely be doing that, you know, throughout the transit, of course. But as it interacts with other planets, we're going to get those different flavors and those different beats of the transit as well. For example, on May 17th at 8:55 p.m. Eastern, Jupiter in Taurus will square Pluto retrograde in Aquarius at 0 degrees. And this is not a very common aspect. These planets don't often get to interact in this way. And not only that, they're both in very new terrain. They're in new parts of the chart. So there is a bit of a freshness and, you know, possibly a little excitement because of that freshness. But there's also definitely a level of unknown, because even though probably everybody watching and myself included have experienced a Jupiter-Pluto square, we've never experienced that from quite this angle, because we've never lived through a Pluto in Aquarius transit. We've never been alive while that was happening. So it'll be a learning opportunity for sure. We're probably going to come to understand something about, you know, the ways that we're now ready to grow and expand and learn in our Taurus houses is being somewhat contradicted or counteracted by the power dynamics at play in our Aquarius houses. The desires of our Aquarius house and the desires of our Taurus house are clashing in some way. They're at odds. There's a level of resistance. And I say it'll be a learning experience because, you know, both of these planets being in such new terrain, we're still really getting a sense of what these transits are even going to be about for us. And there's probably some stuff that comes up with these two planets interacting that we hadn't really even considered before, things that had never really been on our mind. And so this is a chance to recognize that those things even exist, whether externally or internally. And depending on where these houses are in your chart, it could be an external clash where you find yourself at odds with another person, a group, a corporation. But it could also be a very internal thing where you discover that there is this one part of you that wants to do this one thing, but you know that's actually at odds with another thing that you also want. So as always with a square aspect, some level of adjustment will be required in order to move forward. One desire will need to be prioritized over the other, even if just temporarily. But the thing is, both Taurus and Aquarius are fixed signs. And so there's not going to be as much movement or as much flexibility as we might like in this situation. Both signs are kind of willing to just be like, nah, I can wait. Let's see what happens, you know? So I think it's going to take a lot of time and effort for things to get moving forward. There's just not a ton of flexibility, like I said. So things might feel stuck for just a little bit, or you might just be really kind of struggling with the decision of like, well, I want this, but I want this. And, you know, finally coming to the conclusion of what is going to move ahead might just take a little longer than you would like. I also feel like this transit says something about how the kind of expansion that's going to be really useful at this time in terms of our Taurus houses is the kind that we get by digging deeper into what's already in front of us, as opposed to trying to experience anything completely, totally new. Pluto really likes to look deep below the surface. It loves to dig for treasure. And so even though Jupiter can be very outwardly expansive, I do wonder if, you know, the mix of Jupiter being in Taurus, this fixed Earth sign, and then Jupiter meeting up with Pluto immediately after moving into the sign, and Pluto being in another fixed sign, you know, that might just mean that expanding our root system, expanding our foundation, that's really how we grow right now. Now, Pluto can bring about revelations about control and power, and oftentimes it'll show us where we are lacking those things or where we've given power and control away, probably, well, perhaps without even really realizing it. And so I do wonder if by reinforcing, by strengthening, by expanding, by stabilizing our foundation and our root system, does that help us to then re-empower ourselves? And finally, I do think there is something here as well about a kind of struggle between the physical world, which is Taurus, and the technological world, Aquarius. You know, how does technology help or harm our physical bodies and our ability to experience, and our ability to experience tangible and sensory things? You know, what is the power dynamic there? And sort of like on a smaller, more personal scale, how does technology impact our mind-body connection? It's obviously not all bad or all good, right? Like excess technology might not be so good, but technological advances can be life-altering and life-saving. So it's not an easy answer, and I don't think that we're going to have some, you know, final conclusion about all of these questions, but I think that they might come into focus on this day and that they might be part of the ongoing story of Pluto in Aquarius and Jupiter in Taurus, particularly in the next couple weeks while Pluto is still in Aquarius. All right, so let's move on to May 18th at 5 a.m. Eastern. The Sun in Taurus will sextile Neptune in Pisces at 27 degrees. This is a softening of the edges of self. It is allowing for more flexibility in a boundary so that we can share a more tender side of ourselves or experience something that we might have been normally closed off to. I'm not saying that we should just like let go of and abandon all of our boundaries. Boundaries are absolutely essential. But it's more of a chance to see where we might have been a little too rigid or inflexible. And, you know, maybe that's because we are just trying to protect ourselves. But this transit comes in and kind of asks us, like, where have we crossed the line from being protective into just closing ourselves off? You know, like, where does that protection actually just cut us off from having nourishing and tender and eye-opening experiences? So it's just like a little softening. It doesn't mean that you, like I said, you're not abandoning boundaries. It might just be like one interaction on May 18th where you go, you know what, normally I might be a little hesitant about that, but today I'm going to open to it. I'm just going to see what happens. This aspect might also bring up a bit of a letting go of a certain part of your identity. And maybe it includes a particular boundary, but not necessarily. It's just, it feels as though with Neptune sort of dissolving the identity, softening the identity, which is the sun, it feels that we're just less invested into holding on to something. It doesn't matter as much as it used to. It's not as essential as it used to be. And this could be a result of the Sun-Uranus conjunction that we had last week, where we were hopefully able to embrace a unique part of ourselves, a wacky side to us. And then now we realize, like, yeah, we don't really need that other layer anymore. Like, it's just not necessary. And it's more of that acceptance energy coming through. There's also a very dreamy and imaginative and creative vibe to this aspect. We're probably feeling a little bit more sensitive than usual and intuitive under this energy. You know, again, Neptune really dissolves sort of the lines between ourselves and like everything that we come into contact with. And that's why I say we don't ditch our boundaries. We just kind of look to see where we can be a little softer. But Neptune definitely makes things very permeable. So it could just be that, you know, like a song we've listened to 1,000 times just sort of hits differently on that day. Like it just really gets into our soul. There's also a very forgiving and compassionate vibe. And maybe that links back to the dissolving of the boundary a little bit of like, you know what, that person was trying their best. Let me forgive them on this one, or let me let compassion lead the way. And it is the kind of day where you just want to see where the vibe is going to take you. You don't want to be super concerned with like earthly matters of like schedules and deadlines and dates and details. Like that's for another day. There's a very hopeful and idealistic quality. And a couple weeks ago when Neptune was squaring Venus, this sort of similar vibe of idealism made for very unrealistic expectations. But here, under the more cooperative and softer sextile aspects, things are much softer. We're not feeling disappointed when things don't match up to what we had in our minds. We're just much better able to move on to the next thing. And it's as though we're just feeling some of that magic that life has to offer when we can just sort of surrender to what's coming our way. Then on May 19th at 2:40 a.m. Eastern, Mercury in Taurus will sextile Saturn in Pisces at 6 degrees. And this is actually the final sextile between these two planets in these signs, the final in a series of three. So some kind of conclusion or resolution could be coming into focus for something that might have gotten started all the way back at the beginning of April or just even one short week ago. Maybe you're getting some kind of approval on something that you submitted, or an agreement can finally be reached between you and somebody else. And, you know, then you can finally move forward with a plan. And hopefully this does bring some clarity to show us that, you know, this delay or this frustration that occurred a week ago, perhaps, or even a little bit further back into April while Mercury was still retrograde, that experience was actually beneficial because now we truly do have all of the data and all of the details, and we can move forward with a lot more assurance, a lot more confidence than we could have before if we hadn't have taken those extra steps. And if nothing is really coming into play from before, nothing's really connecting, you know, this could just be a very productive day. This aspect is really great for detail-oriented tasks or for getting important paperwork done, for figuring out the planning and the logistics of a particular type of event. You know, this is the kind of aspect where getting important, but perhaps tedious and monotonous work done is actually a little easier because the energy is just very affirming for taking responsibility, for doing your due diligence. And so if you're the type of person that puts off stuff like that, this could be a really great day to finally get to it. It could also be a good day for having a more serious kind of conversation. There's a cooperative energy from the sextile and a more thoughtful mindset thanks to Saturn. So tough stuff, I think, might just go over a little bit easier, and more meaningful conversations will sort of get the respect, get the weight that they deserve. Then on the same day, at 11:55 a.m. Eastern, we have the new moon in Taurus at 28 degrees. And this is such a lovely new moon for doing new moon things. It is very refreshing because last year's Taurus new moon was an eclipse, which brought a totally different energy, a totally different vibe to that new moon. And so this is actually an opportunity to interact with the kind of energy that we haven't actually had since the new moon in Taurus in 2021. And so I think that makes for really great intention setting and a really rich and powerful lunar ritual in general. Of course, the new moon in Taurus will be ruled by Venus in Cancer, and that means that there is a lovely bit of mutual reception between the moon being in Venus's sign and in a sign where it's actually exalted. The moon loves to be in Taurus. And then Venus being in the moon sign, and Venus does have what's called triplicity strength in Cancer. It's not as good as being exalted, but it is something. So it's a beautiful relationship between Venus and the moon right now. And this definitely adds the Venus in Cancer desire for closeness and bonding with our nearest and dearest relationships. It adds a very caring and protective quality. And in general, there's such a nice flow between the signs of Cancer and Pisces. These are such nourishing signs for the body, for the heart, for our closest connections. And with that mix of earth and water signs, there is an energy here of cultivation and nurturing, especially when it comes to topics like pleasure, relaxation, close connections, the body, and like tactile experiences. And, you know, if you're not really the type of person that is into new moon rituals, that's totally fine. This could be a day when you just feel like you want to spend some quality time with your nearest and dearest family members or friends or just your loved ones in general. Maybe you just want to show them some affection of some kind, maybe with a thoughtful gesture, or maybe they are actually in need of some kind of support that you can come through and help out with. It's also a really great time to kind of indulge in some creature comforts and pleasure. We should all allow ourselves to really indulge in the things that make us feel the most comfortable and cozy, and to prioritize the activities and interactions that bring us the most nourishment and enjoyment. Part of my own Taurus new moon intentions this year is really to embrace pleasure and to say kind of a fuck you, no thank you to all of the guilt and all of the shame that can come up around pleasure and can come up around indulging in pleasure, and to actively seek experiences that provide pleasure and joy in this increasingly difficult world. So I think that's something we all deserve. I am very passionate about saying fuck you to the term guilty pleasure. I don't think any of us should feel any guilt over experiencing pleasure unless your pleasure is like actively hurting somebody else. But I don't think that's often where the phrase guilty pleasure gets brought up around. So fuck a guilty pleasure. If you get pleasure from it, that's great and you should not feel shame. Okay, a little bit of a tangent there, but I thought it was worth it. So The sextile with Neptune that the sun was just in is definitely still very much in play during this new moon. And so all of those softening and dreamy vibes flow right into this new moon. And that energy of wanting to be imaginative and creative and spiritual is definitely in the mix. It feels like a very magical new moon ritual is totally possible. The sun and the moon will also be applying to a sextile with Mars at this time, which I think could bring a real jumpstart energy to infuse into our new moon intentions. It adds a bit of vitality and vigor to the mix for sure. I think it's going to help me be extra bold about like indulging in those pleasurable activities. It definitely provides some courage and some strength. And so maybe the intentions that we set are a little more bold than we might be used to. And when this aspect, when the sun sextile Mars aspect perfects next week, maybe that's when things really get moving and in motion and underway for our intentions. But we will talk about that more next week, of course. So next up on May 20th at 11:35 a.m. Eastern, Mars will move into Leo. And anyone who has listened to me talk about Mars over the past year, pretty much since it moved into Gemini last year, you will probably know how much I am actually really looking forward to this. I think this is the best condition that Mars has been in since like very early July of 2022. And I think it's going to be particularly beneficial for Aries and Scorpio risings. And, you know, if you work with any Time Lord techniques in astrology and Mars happens to be your Time Lord this year, it's going to be great. It's going to be really beneficial. This shift is going to be really beneficial. Now, technically, Mars is still in, it's in a similar condition here as it was in Gemini in terms of rulership and dignity and all of that, like all those technical pieces. However, because of the retrograde cycle in Gemini, that really meant that Mars could not move at a pace that it prefers to move at for a really long time. And so that just made that transit a little more difficult than it might normally be. But also Leo just sort of inherently feels like as a fire sign, it feels a lot more conducive to Mars energy. Leo is very bold and confident and expressive, and Mars really thrives in a clear and decisive energy like that. And I think what's also really nice for Mars is that Leo being, you know, being a fixed sign can provide this like really solid, stable, and steady environment for Mars to just get shit done. It is an area of the chart where Mars can have its fire and its passion continuously fed, which might feel like a lot at first, but I think it's better than constantly getting that fire put out or dampened and feeling that constant like stop-start energy, which we probably felt a lot of for the last like 10, 11, 12 months, like since you know, I guess like July 2022 when Mars first moved into Gemini, or was it August? Anyways, it's been a long time is the point. Because in that energy, like Mars will keep hitting a wall and it wants to push through that wall. It wants to Kool-Aid man, oh yeah, through that wall. And that's not really what it's able to do. So then we're stuck sort of trying to figure out how to divert and transmute that excess Mars energy. Whereas in Leo and in a fixed fire sign, I think Mars gets its job and then it can just go about getting that job done. It gets to decide and do, which is really aces for a planet like Mars. Now, of course, while in Leo, Mars will be ruled by the sun, which will be in Gemini for most of the transit, which I find really fascinating that Mars just spent this like extended period of time in Gemini. And then it's finally, you know, because while it was in Cancer, it couldn't see Gemini, but now moving into Leo, it's forming a sextile relationship. And so it's almost like Mars finally got like the space and time that it needed. And it can finally like look back on Gemini and be like, okay, that's what the fuck was going on for all of those months. Like it's getting some perspective, just like any of us would, you know, given some time and space from a difficult situation or any kind of a situation, we can look back and get that perspective. And I think that's maybe especially possible with the sun's ability to shine a light and bring awareness and understanding to wherever it travels. Mars will be in Leo until July 10th, so we've got a good chunk of time to really take advantage of this energy. And we may feel like it is a little slow to get started just because Leo is a fixed sign. So Mars might take a couple of days or even a week to really like dry off from all that watery Cancer energy. And in doing so, it is getting like re-energized and enthusiastic about all of its plans and visions. And we will probably feel our own little boost in energy levels and in enthusiasm and motivation towards our goals and our projects. And this is going to be a much more sustained and manageable approach with our energy levels and our passions and our desires. You know, when we properly feed that Leo fire in the chart, I think it can help keep us motivated and moving for a good long period of time. On the same day, about 12 hours later, at around 11 p.m. Eastern, Mars in Leo will oppose Pluto in Aquarius at 0 degrees. Now, this is a little intense, a little heated, possibly explosive. It speaks to a clashing of wills, to a difference of opinions and perspectives. And it does feel like it could go down in a couple of different ways, just sort of depending on how these energies are all showing up for you. And of course, where Aquarius and Leo are in your own chart. But it definitely feels like a bit of a battle, like a very tricky balancing act between our individual desires and needs and self-expression, which is very much Mars in Leo, and the needs and the desires of the groups and the communities that we belong to, represented by Pluto in Aquarius. This could manifest as an internal struggle, you know, like you're navigating your desire to do something for yourself, but also feeling like you got to show up for the group. But it could also be external where, again, you're maybe wanting to focus on yourself and your goals and your passions right now, but you're getting a little bit of pushback from certain groups or communities that you belong to. And that pushback might be warranted. It might not be. It might also be somebody trying to manipulate a little bit or to disempower you. You know, as I said earlier, Pluto brings power dynamics to light. It brings it, you know, wherever it goes. So it's good to examine if we're maybe feeling pressured or pushed into a group situation when what we actually really do need in this moment is to focus on ourselves. Now, there is also a chance that you are being the one that is pushy, or you are being a little bit manipulative and controlling. To what end? Who knows? But if you are showing up as more the Pluto in Aquarius archetype, that could be the case. So definitely want to watch out for ourselves participating in that shady business, but also the people around us participating in that shady business. It's possible that we might discover that someone or a group that we belong to, something about them, like they haven't been totally transparent in the past, and now a secret of sorts is coming to light. You might also learn that you've been a little too passive in terms of asserting or expressing yourself, and now you need to shift those gears and reclaim a certain level of control. But just be cautious, because this could turn a little ruthless, like your way or the highway type stuff. You know, I did say Mars in Leo might take some time to really get going. But, you know, if this aspect is hitting your chart in a kind of a critical way, like if you have planets and or points at 0 degrees of Leo, Aquarius, or even the other fixed signs, Scorpio and Taurus, you might have, like Mars might move into Leo and you get a pretty quick realization of where you've given your power away. And, you know, you immediately feel this urge to like assert yourself and sort of like demand respect. And so I feel like there is a way to do that in a nicer way without, like, you know, people pleasing or giving away your power again. And there's a way to do that where it's you're burning bridges and it's a your way or the highway type thing. And you might not want to go that far. Maybe you do. That's up to you, obviously. Now, on the more sort of chill end of this aspect, you might just find yourself really obsessed with a certain project. Like, there's a very focused, motivated, driven, even stubborn quality here that might help you to really tuck in to all the work that's on your plate. Again, this might veer into not ruthless territory, but almost like callous territory because, and like a little bit detrimental to that more social side of you because you are so narrowed in. You are so focused and obsessed on this thing that you want to get done that you kind of lose sight of the needs of those around you. But sometimes we need that narrow focus, right? Like so that we can actually just like give the undivided attention to the thing that needs to get completed. But again, just being cautious with that ability to be perhaps a little unfeeling or callous in the process. With an opposition, we are forced to navigate opposing needs or opposing qualities, and to also determine how we might meet in the middle or how these opposing qualities or opinions might actually support each other. So, or like, you know, which one needs to be prioritized over the other, whether that's a temporary thing or a more long-term like solution in a more permanent sort of way. And in this case, it might be a matter of exploring how we continue to meet our own needs without losing sight of what's required for us to be in community. And considering whether we're prepared to make certain sacrifices in either of those areas to benefit the other. And again, it might be a temporary thing. Maybe you've been really focused on your own thing and it is time to shift a little bit and give more focus to the groups or the communities, but it could be vice versa as well. So, okay, that's a big week, and that's all I've got for you this time around. The fixed signs are getting activated for sure in this last week of Taurus season. Do you have planets and or points at around 0 degrees of the fixed signs? Are you excited for Jupiter and Taurus? How has the rest of May been going for you? Let me know in the comments or send me a DM over on Instagram at Jasmine's Astrology. I would love to hear from you guys. And thank you so much for watching. And until we meet again, I'll catch you in the cosmos.